in your Bibles, let's go over to St. John chapter 10. Good to see Sister Lily with us tonight. Still looking for a song one of these days from her. St. John chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 1. The title is The Commandment of the Father. The Commandment of the Father. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And then I want to read from St. John chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. Chapter 6, verse 43. "Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me." I really like that scripture. "Every man that therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me." Amen. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we just want to just ask God for your blessings upon this. This word that we've read, we pray, God, that you would multiply as you multiply the bread and the fishes. Lord, may you just multiply these words that we have read, break it, the bread of life to your children. Tonight, we ask God that you take the whole service now, everything into your hands, and give it to you, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I pray that that I'll get somewhere in here, I'll get to the thought that I want to leave with you tonight, or want to share with you the commandment of the Father. So you pray that they'll get to that spot. And so, you know, we could just leave right now, and we'd be blessed, because we were able to read the word. So we read here in the scripture where Jesus said that he was the door. He said he's the door of the sheepfold, but he said he that cometh through the door is the shepherd. and that anybody that comes up some other way was a thief and a robber. So he said, he that cometh in through the door is a shepherd, and because he comes through the door, the porter will open to him and will let him in. He'll come in, and his sheep, he will lead them in and out through this door. So if you think about, I don't know how it all, but in my own mind, I'm thinking about maybe a fenced-in area or something or whatever where the sheep can go in and be safe, and there's a doorway to get in and out. And we understand all the things about how shepherds would lay there in the door. But Jesus is saying that this shepherd, the true shepherd, has to come through the door.
Right.
Now, if you think about it, to get in access to the sheep, he's got to go through the door to get there. And then that same door is this door that he will lead them sheep in and out. And the scripture said that they would go in and out. They would hear his voice, and he would go before them. He would go before them, and he would lead them, and they would know his voice. And so if they would do this, they could come in and out of that door, and they would find rest. They'd be saved and find pasture. And so it doesn't say anything in there about how hard they try to be sheep. They are sheep.
Right.
Doesn't say anything in there about how hard they must work really hard to make sure that they're hearing his voice. That's not what he said. He said, my sheep know my voice. I want to ask you, well, when did that happen? When did you come to know his voice? And we know that it comes from the foundation of the world by predestination, that God has sheep. And he even said here, if you notice, he said, I have sheep of another fold. And he was speaking of Gentiles. And he's going to come to them and bring them in, and there'd be one fold and one shepherd. And so he says that they will hear his voice, and they won't follow another because they don't know the voice of the other, but they know the voice of him.
Right.
And so, you know, what I want to try to get through here tonight is, you know, there's a physical voice that you can hear, and you could follow, and you could do things, but then there's another voice that you can hear and that you can follow. And so we can do all kinds of things. We can come to church and just from an intellectual, what we hear intellectually. But that's not what God's looking for. God is looking for something greater than that. He's looking for us to follow the voice of the shepherd. And so you really think about it that, well, you might have done this and you might have done that in your lifetime or whatever and gone out and done things that maybe wasn't exactly right. But as we sit here tonight under the influence of the Word and our lives have been changed by the Word, we can say that there's nothing that has taken hold of our life. Through all of the years that we've been on earth, nothing has taken hold of our life and spoke to us, not in the intellectual ear or the physical ear, but has spoke to us in a realm that has changed our lives like the Word has.
Right.
And so when he says, they won't listen to another one, I want to tell you, you didn't listen to the other one because all the other ones didn't catch you like this caught you. Mm-hmm. Right? Nothing else has spoke to your heart and led you and guided you and gave you peace like the Word of God has, well, like the experience that the Lord has. And to that we are thankful. So Jesus goes on to say, he says, I am the door. Now you think about it. He said, the true shepherd has to go through the door. But then he said, he was the door.
Right.
And so what you begin to realize here is that he had to come through the Word just like we have to come through the Word. And in order for him to be that shepherd, he had to come through the Word of God just like we would have to, right? So the same door that he would go in and out, we could go in and out, it's the word of the Lord that we're speaking of. He is that door. He is that word in that doorway. And so he gave us the example that he had as a human, even though he was God, he was human, he had to go through the same door. He had to go through an obedience to the voice of God, to the word of God. And because he was obedient, we read there where he said, because he laid down his life for the sheep, the Father loved him. And so you realize that as he was coming and being obedient to the Word of God, that gave him access to come in and out. Was going through that obedience to the word of God, which he was. He's obedient to the very word that he was.
Right?
Right? That seems kind of strange, but he was the word, but he had to be obedient. In other words, if God spoke and said that Brother Daniel was going to sit in that seat tonight, well, Brother Daniel could come here, whatever, but until he sits in that seat, he's not obedient to the word that the very word that spoke about him.
Right.
And yet in him was the ability to be that word. That's who he is, but he had to act it out.
Right.
Right? And so Jesus was the word, and he had to do these things, and he had to act out the very word that he was. And by doing that, through that obedience, that gave him access to the king. And I'll call it the kingdom of heaven, but gave him access to the sheepfold, because that's what it is. It's the kingdom of heaven that God has for us. And so he got access. And so if anybody tries to come up some other way other than the word, they're thieves, they're robbers, they're not trying to come the right way. Right? According to the word of God, there's only one way, and that's through the obedience of the word. And so if a man will enter in, he says, if a man will enter in through him, the door, then he shall be saved. He shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. So how many times do you think the shepherd goes in and out of that gate leading his sheep every day? So he says here that if you'll come through the door, then you can be saved, and you can go in and out. You can have the safety of the fold. You can go out and you can find pasture. And that happens every day. So you realize that our walk with God through his word has to happen every day. And if we'll stay in the channel of the word and travel through the door of the word, then every day we can have the safety, the comfort of the fold, the leadership of the shepherd. We can find food to eat every day, pasture for us. And so this he's speaking here that everything we would need, we can have as long as we come through the door. Because that's what he said, I am the door, and if any man enter through me, he shall be saved, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. And so then Jesus goes on to say, he says, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The hireling, he will flee when he sees the wolf coming, when trouble rises, whatever. He's worried about himself. He'll flee. But the shepherd who really loves the sheep, he will not flee. He will stay there. He will give his life for the sheep to save them and to do the things he does. And so he said, because of this, the Father loved him, because he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And so he says, I have power. I always thought this was a very striking statement, but he said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I'm going to give it. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And this is where we get getting down to the title. Jesus said, I have a commandment from the Father. And that commandment, he told me in that commandment, in that word, that I have the ability to lay my life down and to pick it up again. And we think all the time about being obedient. We're saying, oh, you know, the word says don't do this, so I won't do that. And I'm, you know, not to minimize that, okay? That's that. But you can hear that just with these ears. And you can try to act that out just with these ears. But I believe what the scriptures is telling us here, there's another realm of hearing the voice of God. And in that, it's not like do's and don'ts, but it's the very word that spoke. In other words, God said, when Jesus, being the word, come out of his mouth, and God said, go, be that shepherd. Go into that door. Be obedient to the word. Go in and out the very word, the door that you will be. Go do that. And so now here comes Jesus. You know, that word circles around for thousands of years, and when it comes time, he has to be a manifestation of that word, right? So the obedience is not like how, well, you know, I gotta, but it's just living out the very thing you are, the very thing that God spoke. And so Jesus said, I have a commandment from God, from the Father, that I can lay my life down and I can take it up again.
Right.
And so that's not just, you know, just do's and don'ts, but that's a realm where God has spoken a predestinated path for the life of Jesus to be able to do things that he's empowered to do by God, and we have the same thing. So he received this commandment from the Father to be the very Word, and that's how he did it. And so we know Jesus, I believe Jesus had a revelation of who he was. He had to know who he was, but I don't think we typically say a whole lot like Jesus had a revelation. But he was human. Right. In his humanity, I believe in his humanity, he had to receive revelation from the Word of God, come right through the same channel that we do, because he was an example for us, right. And that made him our shepherd.
Right.
Right? And we have to go right in and follow him in and out of the same obedient doorway which he was obedient to, and which he is the Word that he is. I hope that's not confusing, but. And so I believe Jesus had the revelation of who he was. We know that. But he had a revelation of what? The voice of God, the commandment of God, to know what he could be. Jesus understood what he could be and what he was to be.
Right.
He understood that he could lay his life down and he would pick it back up again. No man could ever say that and do that. But he knew that, and so he said, I have this commandment from my Father to do this. And so that you realize there was an obedience to that commandment of the Father.
Right.
So he had a revelation of who he was. We know how that when David, Jesus is standing there and saying, you know, destroy this temple, talking about his body, and then, you know, within 3 days we'll raise it up again. And of course, they thought he was talking about the building. But Brother Rem talks about that, and we know that Jesus said that based upon the scriptures where David had sinned and backslid and said that thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer the Holy One to see corruption. And we know the scriptures talk about how that David was, you know, David did go to the grave, he did see corruption, but that was God in him speaking. And Jesus, at some point, realized that was him. This is the one to really wrap your head around. That scripture that's in the Bible, and that event that happened with David, that a backslidden man could say something that would be, "Thus saith the Lord,"
right.
And Jesus could hang his whole life, his whole everything on it, and say, "Go ahead, you can destroy this, but." He won't stay there because of a scripture.
Right.
And so Jesus realized he caught that commandment. He caught that inspiration in that realm, not just intellectual ears, but he caught that voice of that very Word that he was and became obedient to it, gave himself, lays his life down, picks it up again. And so, and because of that, Jesus had access, became our shepherd, had, I say, access to the sheep, because that's, he came through the very door. And so, the door of the sheepfold is the Word. Not by intellect, but by revelation.
Right.
We're all familiar with when Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say this, some, but who do you say? Who do you say?" Peter said, "Well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so we've got to realize that we do sit and we come to the house of God and we listen to the preaching and we hear it with these ears and we sit in the presence of the Word. But what we're looking for is that voice. That revelation to strike, that this words, that the words that we hear become quickened to us. And once it becomes quickened, you'll see layers and it'll speak to you in realms and ways that nobody else hears.
Yeah.
See? And so, because once you come into that life of obedience, now through that you're able to come in and go out. Through that you're able to feed every day.
Right.
Through that you have this relationship and protection with your shepherd. And so, it's by revelation. And so, you know, when Jesus said to those, at one point he said, when you begin to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob come and sit down in the kingdom and you yourselves cast out every weeping, you know, gnashing of teeth. And so we believe Jesus had a revelation of what he was, who he was, and what he was to do. And He said, I've got that commandment from my Father. His humanity side had to receive revelation from his deity side.
Right.
Think about that. There was a portion of him that was humanity that would hear like we hear and so forth, but there was a deity side. We think about, you know, God speaking to us, but if we are just like Christ, if we are part of the word that God spoke, and there is predestinated word in our life, and that's who we really are, then when you hear from that realm, what are you hearing? You're actually hearing from who you are.
Right.
So our Brother Branham said, when you realize that the word of God is eagle food, you've left these other things, as denominational teachings and all that. You've left those things, and you have heard from your theophany.
Right.
You actually, when you connect to these things, that's why, you know, we're expressing in the body that we're going to live in is being formed by this word that we walk in. So when you hear and you get a revelation and it empowers you to be something, it empowers you to be what God said you would be in the first place. You've heard from God. You've heard from your theophany. You've heard from that commandment. And that begins to show you and tell you what you can be, who you are. Amen? But it doesn't come through intellectual, just these ears and intellectual thinking. It comes by revelation.
Right.
By revelation, it cannot be taken away from you, as we just quoted in the scriptures there. And so, as I said a while ago, we're always thinking about obedience. Like, oh, it says don't do this. But to me, there's a higher level of obedience, and that's just acting out the very word that you are.
Right.
That's what it is. Come, your humanity side hears from your deity side.
Right.
Your humanity hears the commandment of the Father concerning you. Just like he said, go. You go and lay yourself down. You'll be able to do it. And God spoke that and put that in him. And now that's all he can do. You come forth. Then God has said, now you go. You be that sheep. You accept that word. You come in and out of obedience to that word. And you'll have those things. And God has said to you, go do that. And now that word is circled for all these thousands of years. And now here you are. And that word that you are is now ready to come in and live through you.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. It's the kingdom of heaven working in us. And so our obedience is not to an intellectual thing, but to revelation. Jesus, by that revelation, he heard that commandment from God. He believed it. And he acted upon it. He became our Savior, became, the, as the scripture said, the author of eternal salvation. I think that God loves that. When there are people who catch that revelation and they move into that obedience, that puts you into that fold, just like it put Jesus in there as the shepherd. And the Father loves that. And so we come the same way. We come by revelation. The scripture tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, faith and revelation come together. So think about it. Faith don't understand everything. It's not intellect.
Right.
Faith understands something without intellect. And it's based upon a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get this from God and he empowers you, you have to, by faith, accept that and go walk out and live it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had to accept by faith that he could lay his life down and pick it up again. In his humanity, Lord forgive me if I'm wrong on this, but in his humanity, the same guy that could hunger, that needed to rest, the same one who had a headache. You know, Brother Branham said that, right? The historian talked about Brother Branham about Jesus having a headache. The same one like that could have an intellectual side that would fight him and say, just like the devil coming and saying, tempted him those times in the wilderness, that he had to deal with that, just like we have to deal with it. And so he had to overcome, just like we have to overcome.
Right.
And so. So you see, Jesus had to believe these things, and so without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
So our daily walk We're not pleasing God if we're just doing things because we hear it with physical ears and so forth. What pleases God, and I'm not telling you not, you obey the best you know how to obey until God does strike you with a revelation, and then it'll be dynamic. Then you can do it. But what pleases God is when people live by revelation, by faith in the revelation of the Word.
Right.
And so he so wonderfully pours out and gives that to his elect, to his people. And that's their daily bread. That's what they live by. And so we want to, in our lives, we should would discipline ourselves and ask ourselves and examine ourselves and say, you know, my daily actions, the things that I do, what is it? And ideally, it would be by revelation. And that would please God. So, if you notice, and I've mentioned this before, but many times when they ask Jesus a question, I think probably most times, when they would ask Jesus a question, especially controversial questions, he never answered them outright, plain. He always answered with parables. He always answered with some story or some allegory or something like that. And so, because see, the way we overcome is by revelation. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, word or testimony, but it's a life of revelation. And if Jesus just walked up to Malachi and said, Malachi, you're my child. You're not going to be lost. That would not be the way it comes.
Right.
Jesus, through parables, through the word and through all the things that we read in the scriptures and all the sermons that are preached, he catches the revelation that he's a child of God.
Right.
It doesn't come by somebody saying, you're the child, you're, it comes because your life has to come through a revelation that strikes your heart, and then you have to act on that.
Right.
That's the way it comes. And so that's why Jesus, he didn't just plainly say that, well, if you're the one, why don't you plainly tell us? He wouldn't plainly tell. Because their decision, their action in life has to be based upon something that strikes their heart, strikes their soul, that's from the Word. Not this intellect saying, or just physical ear saying, oh, you're a child or whatever, but it has to come through that channel of the Word, the revealed Word. That channel is what speaks to you, and that's why Jesus would say, listen, I'm just in my way trying to express what I'm thinking here, is that, you know, if they're going to be there, they have to come through revelation. I can't plainly tell them.
Right.
It's like when they came and said, well, let my son sit on one side or the other. Jesus said, that's not mine to give.
Right.
Right? Well, who would give that? Somebody's going to sit on his right hand and let, right? Who would give that? God. But how would it come? By revelation.
Right.
So you find out that, you know, Brother Rem talks, and we've went through this, how that God is building his body through these ages.
Right.
Through, you know, from the first church age all the way up. He's building this New Testament church, his body. And so, you know, Luther had a place where he fit in the body. Luther did not fit in the place where we fit today. We all have our place. How do we know where we belong? By revelation. How do we know how our names are on that book? By revelation. He doesn't say, this, you know, sister so-and-so here, you're on the book. That's not how he does it. But it's the revealing of the word, and something each one of us connects to that and says, that's me, that's my day, that's my name in this book. See? And so the whole thing comes by revelation. And we spend so much time, you know, because we're in this world and, you know, all that. And that's the battle. That's that we fight. But real overcoming life comes from a connection through revelation.
Right.
And so Jesus spoke through parables so that all these people could only come. Only ones who could come is those who come through that door. Obedience to the revelation of the commandment of God. That's the ones who come in and out, is the ones that go through that door.
Right.
And so if Jesus just plainly told everybody, well, that, you know, that it wouldn't even work. It only works when they catch a revelation about their own life and their own connection, that he's my God, he's my Savior, he's my healer, me. That you, by revelation, put your name in there, and you see that it's for you, then you know that it is for you. And we do it the same way, by hearing the commandment of the Father. It's not the voice of the preacher, but it's the voice inside the voice.
Right.
We talk about that. You know what we said, as I think I mentioned a while ago, we said under the word, but it's so that we can, that revelation can strike us. It is, as I said, we were building the body of God, you know, that through the ages coming up through, you know, the feet and the legs and all the way up, all we come up through Pentecost, which was, you know, the mouth speaking, and then God delivered us a seer. Brother Rem talked about this. But then after the seeing, as this body is being built through the ages, and here we are, we find ourselves here, and we're past Pentecost, and we're past the seer. Brother Rem said, now the only thing left after that is the intellect. So that's where we belong. We don't belong in the feet. We don't belong in Luther's day. We rejoice in justification. But that's not our main focus. Right? Sanctification is not our main focus. Pentecost, shouting, running, hanging, all the gifts of the Spirit, all that. We praise God. It's you know, we believe justification and we can rejoice in it. But that's not our main thing. Our main thing is not even beyond the seer now. We live by the in believing the message, okay? But it goes, as the prophet said, after that it goes to intellect, and there's no moving parts. So, you know, if Luther was arms, then as Luther caught a revelation, the arms were moving and you could see it. Right? As Pentecost got the revelation, you could see it and hear it. As a prophet stood there, as a seer, you could see that action. You could see that working. But you can't see the intellect, the wisdom of God that's in the heart of God's people today.
Right.
And that's what he's called us to. And I'll say it this way. In order for Luther to move his arms in that example, there had to be an intellect that did it. Right? Luther wasn't the intellect. But there was an intellect that did it. Mm-hmm. Pentecost was not the intellect, but there was one. And I'm not talking about human intellect, I'm talking about God's intellect. Mm-hmm. There was an intellect that did it. There was an intellect that caused that prophet to be able to stand there and people to see and see that. But now we have been called to a position of the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
That the very person, mind of God in fullness to come down into a body, that we can embody the fullness of him and understand the revelation and the mystery of God. And so it's past all the moving parts. It's past, and I'll tie it to the message now, it's past the public showing. We can still rejoice like Luther did and Wesley did, Pentecost. We can still have those things, but we must remember the thing that God really wants us to come to is the revelation, the same mind that was in Christ Jesus to be in us.
Right.
That's the commandment that God has given us. Go and be that age beyond the seer. Not to do away with those, but to be that age, to be that people that the full revelation of the word now comes down and is embodied in them and lives. A wisdom that knew how to be Luther. A wisdom that knew how to be Wesley. And knew how to be Pentecost. And now knows how to be what we are to be in this day.
Right.
And so that's our commandment of the Father. To be more than Luther, Wesley, Pentecost.
Right.
To be the bride who is one with Christ. One in unity with him.
Right.
It's past all the public showing. And so it's into a place where it's a secret place. where we go into a secret relationship with Christ, and things are happening in our relationship with Him, and nobody sees it. But we know it. Right? That's speaking of husband and wife in unity, in secrecy, if you look at it from that standpoint. But God is calling us to that. And that's what He's delivered and brought us to in all these things. So that is the commandment of our Father that has been given to us. That He has said, you go and you be that. And you can be that. But the only way to do that is to come through the obedience of that doorway of revelation that's open to us. And as long as we live a life in that, coming in and going out daily through the Word, then we will be what God has ordained for us to be in this hour. Amen. Have you believe that?
Amen.
It's not trivial. This is the culmination of everything that God has worked through all these years. And you know, so just we all just had to pray and seek God. And with this Word, He's promised us, we know His voice.
Yeah.
We know His voice. And His voice to us is not going to have us go back and just come in and our whole life will be nothing but all about justification. It's way beyond that.
Yeah.
Right? And so we thank the Lord for His wisdom and for the things that He has provided so wonderfully. As I've said so many times, you know, it takes grace for us to say, really? Is it really us? Is it really us that have come to this place where we are the final voice to the final age? And the answer is yes. Then you have to wear it humbly. Right? You have to accept it humbly. Because it's not a place that we put ourselves in. It's a place that God has, that He has done. Amen. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings upon us. Thank You for this Word. Thank You for this midweek service. Those that will come out. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence to be among us, to speak, to lead and guide, to challenge us. Ask God that You just go with each one. May they meditate on these things. May they search the Scriptures, search the message to see if it's so.
Cleansed by His blood, joy.
I've been walking.